I'd like to read some verses out of Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 1 down to about verse 11. This subject that I'd like to share this morning. A while ago, I heard this verse out of the Old Testament was quoted, sort of a very short little story, and it really made an impression on me, and I was thinking about it since then. And this, what I'm going to share is in Philippians, is sort of what is the culmination of those thoughts. Let's start reading verse 1 of chapter 2. If there be any, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same mind, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made into the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is something we've all heard before many times, of the responsibilities we have as brethren, as sisters, to the church, to each other. And the Bible is full of verses. Think of the one verse in John chapter 17, in Jesus' prayer for the disciples, for us. He mentioned that we can all be one as he and God are one. And that's a really high standard. When we think of God's and Jesus' relationship, it was a perfect relationship. And his prayer is that we can be that. And, you know, you look around you and you see different people. We all come from different parts of the U.S. Seems like Idaho, this church here, was sort of a gathering place of a lot of different people with different backgrounds, different teachings, different parents. And there's a lot of differences there. But Christ is the unifier, the great unifier. It's because of Christ that we're here this morning. I think if we would ask each one of you, you'd all say that's why we're here. It's not because of someone else, but it's because of Christ. And Paul speaks of our body in 1 Corinthians. It all has different things. Our body is not all one member. It's all a bunch of different ones. And all works together for the good of the whole body. And that's how we should be too. In verse 2, it says that we are to be like-minded, of one accord, of one mind. And then verse 3, it talks of humility. It says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. And, you know, thinking about humility, I think it's the key to acting out the commandments to love and care for each other. How can we esteem others better than ourselves if we're not humble? How can we encourage or sacrifice the time to help someone else if we're not humble? And then, of course, we have in verses 6 through 8, it talks about Jesus, our example. And I like the way Paul writes the definition of Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God. But in verse 7 it said, he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. For Jesus to become man was very humbling. But then he took it one step further. And it says he became a servant. And in Matthew 20, verse 28, Jesus tells his disciples, he said, I came not to minister unto, to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for all. And he took himself as low as he could to be a servant, as low as he needed to be a servant. He was humble. He truly was. In verse 4, probably the verse that hit me the hardest, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. There's a lot of distractions out there today. I get caught up in my own problems, my own struggles, my life, my work, whatever it can be. It's pretty easy to get focused on myself and not look out and see the needs around me. And that, I'd like to share the verse in the Old Testament that started this in my mind. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 21. Verses 15 through 17, just a very short little couple verses, but it spoke very strongly to me. 2 Samuel 21, verse 15 through 17. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war against with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbi-benob, which were the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. And Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. I'm sort of jumping into the life of David here. He's older. I'm not sure how old he was here. I really didn't look it up, but I'm guessing in his late 40s, maybe 50s, maybe older. And the Philistines, who David had conquered or had fought against and won battles against many times, came again. I believe this is the last time, at least the last time it's recorded in the Bible. And David went out like usual with his servants, with his army, to fight against the Philistines. And in the midst of the battle, he got weak. He's old. He couldn't fight like he used to. And the giant, he said, the sons of the giant, but he was a giant himself, took note of what was happening. And he thought he would kill him. He seen that David was getting weak. But Abishai, one of his men, saved him. And at thinking about this in my mind, it doesn't have very many details. The Bible doesn't. A lot of times it doesn't. But I had to think about the battles that were fought then and the battles that are fought now. They're a lot different. Right now, when an army goes against another army, a country against another country, there's a pretty high premium set on the distance between each opposing army. The weapons that we use now, they can destroy an army sometimes within miles of each other. That separation is set up for a safety between each one. But the weapons it talks about here, it talks about a spear, it talks about a sword. You can throw a spear one time, and then you have to defend on your sword. And it sounds like this battle had been going on for a little while because David was getting weak. And so I'm guessing that everybody had got rid of their spear by then and was down to swords. So the question is, how close do you have to get to kill someone with a sword? Pretty close. Maybe 2 foot, maybe 3 foot, maybe a little less. But they were really close. And then you think about these armies. David had a lot of men. Again, I can't remember how many, but they were in the thousands. And I'm sure the Philistines didn't come out with another army that was a lot less than that. So you have thousands of people fighting within 1, 2, 3 feet of each other, and a lot of confusion going on. Can you imagine that? All the dust stirred up, all the noises going on. And there's David in the mix of that, and the giant seeing that he's getting weak. So he attacked at him. And it sounds like that he probably would have killed him. But Abishai noticed. what was going on. And Abishai says in the Bible that he was a very courageous leader. He wasn't a slacker. He was in the back of the army just sitting around watching. But I think he was there like he normally was, bravely fighting and protecting himself and also trying to get the best of whoever was in front of him. So you can imagine all this confusion of people all around him and stuff. He was still, I think, looking out for David. I don't know. I'll use my imagination a little bit. I don't think that it was unnoticed by David's men that David was getting a little older. Maybe they said something to him. I don't know. But maybe Abishai had his eye out for David a little bit. And he was watching, and he's seen what happened. He's seen this giant come at David, and he said, you know, he needs help. I'm going to step in. So he left his own fight, even though I'm sure he was pretty preoccupied at the time. And he went out to help David. And I think he probably stayed with David the rest of the battle, because at that time David was weak, or at least until David was able to gain his strength back. So I'm sure you can see where I'm headed to. This lesson for me, for all of us, I think, is a lot of times we're surrounded by a lot of distractions, a lot of struggle, a lot of problems going on in our own lives. But can we keep our eyes out open for those that are around us that maybe have a weak moment? And if we don't step in and help out, that person might be slain by the enemy. I'd like to read one more verse, or a couple more verses in 1 John 3, 16 through 18. 1 John chapter 3. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I like those verses. Let's pray.